Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Welcome to the first episode of Season 3 of Constant Wonder Kids. We're so glad that you're here. In celebration of our new season, we've released a new free coloring page on our website. You can download it at the link in the description. Check it out. When you look out at your backyard, what kind of animals do you see? If you live in a desert like Arizona, you might see lizards, scorpions, or spiders. If you live in a city like New York, you might see squirrels, rats, and bees in the park. When I look outside my window in Washington, I can see rabbits, hummingbirds, ducks, and even a deer if I'm lucky. It's amazing to think about all the wildlife that we can see just in our backyards. However, I've noticed that lots of people tend to forget that we have these animal neighbors. Our guest today admits that for a long time, she didn't think about the natural world just outside her door at all.
I was very urban focused and lived surrounded by glass and concrete. I'm a foreign policy advisor, so I traveled all the time overseas, and my gaze was really focused overseas, not really on Britain.
This is Chloe Dalton. As a foreign policy advisor, she helps countries get along. Chloe has spent a lot of her life working an important job in the big city of London, England. However, things changed for Chloe during the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. During this time, a lot of people stayed at home in lockdown so that they wouldn't get sick or spread the virus.
At the start of lockdown, I went to the north of England so I could be near my parents. Those early months of the pandemic, I would go for walks, but I was really thinking about London. I was thinking about my life and when I could go back, and I was worrying like everybody else about people around me and the forces in the world and where things were going to go. I don't think I even really looked that closely at the landscape, which I know sounds extraordinary, and but I'm happy to admit it, because I was just stomping through the fields, feeling cold and thinking, when can I go back to London?
Even though she was living in the beautiful countryside of northern England, Chloe didn't really pay much attention to the natural world around her. Until one morning, she stumbled across a little creature that was difficult to ignore.
A dirt track runs past my house. It has a strip of grass down the middle of the track. And I went for a walk down this track, and I was suddenly arrested by the sight of this tiny creature lying in the middle of the track on this grassy strip with its eyes open, smaller than the palm of my hand, and the word leveret sprung into my mind, even though I had never seen a hare before.
When Chloe is talking about a hare, she doesn't mean the stuff that grows on your head. She's talking about the animal hare, H-A-R-E, which is kind of like a rabbit, but with longer legs and ears. You might have heard of hares in stories like The Tortoise and the Hare or Alice in Wonderland. A baby hare is called a leveret, and that's what Chloe found in the middle of the road.
I stood away from the creature, didn't want to come close to it. I found it fascinating that it didn't run away from me. It was very, very small. It was probably only a day old, but leverets are born with their eyes open and a full coat of hair. So there's something very wild about it. It was like seeing something from another world. It was this sort of deep, dark eyes, tiny ears that were pinned to the back of its shoulders. And it had this extraordinary coat that defied description. It was multicolored. It had this little golden halo of guard hairs that stand off above the kind of thicker coat beneath. And so I stood and looked at it, and I knew, even though I was a city dweller, that generally speaking, you don't pick up animals, you know, young animals that are in the wild. I assumed, looking at it and the fact that it was in a very improbable place, that it had been chased by a dog, but I thought I would leave it in the hope that it would be reunited with its mother. And so I left, and I went on a walk, and it was 4 hours or so later, I went back to see if it was still there and found it in exactly the same very exposed position.
Chloe started to worry about leaving the little leveret out in the open. There were all sorts of predators, like stoats, which are kind of like weasels, or buzzards, who would love to gobble up the baby hare as a snack. So, even though she had no idea what she was doing, Chloe grabbed some grass and a box, gently scooped up the leveret, and took it to her home.
I got the creature home, the leveret home. I looked at it. It didn't seem to have any visible injury, but its fur was very thick, so it would have been quite hard to tell. And it sat on my countertop, looking a little bewildered, but very, very still, didn't move at all, didn't appear frightened. And I racked my brains to think, who did I know who might know something about hares, who could give me some advice? And my sister gave me the number of a conservationist and said, call him, he'll be able to give you good advice. And I rang this man, who said to me, and he was just blunt about it, he said, well, I'm afraid to tell you, but this leveret will probably die. I know people, he said, who have raised all sorts of wild creatures, but hares have never been domesticated, so you should probably prepare yourself for the fact that it's going to die. I remember standing there and I thought to myself, what am I going to do looking at this animal? I cannot let it die. Now it's all about trying to give it the care needed to ensure its survival. Because perhaps I am a little bit stubborn, and the second that he said that it would die, I was like, no, it won't. I won't let it happen. I'm going to do everything I possibly can.
Despite the odds, Chloe was determined to keep the leveret alive. Her first concerns were all about what to feed this little creature. Do you have any idea what you would feed to a baby hare? Chloe didn't, but she was set on figuring it out.
I spent the rest of the day kind of conferring with my sister, who has a small farm. My sister dropped off a big bucket of powdered milk that she used to feed lambs, and that's what I used to mix up these tiny quantities of milk to feed the leveret.
In addition to figuring out what to feed the leveret, Chloe also had to find a way to keep the leveret comfortable in her home.
Those first few days and nights, I just put this little creature in a little open-sided cardboard box with lots of the grass and hay that I'd cut from the side of the road. It would only come out of its little shelter when I would pick it up to feed it. I just had this instinctive feeling that it didn't belong in a cage, that it was a wild animal, and that my job was just simply to prepare it to return to the wild. I didn't think of it as belonging to me. It wasn't my pet, it was this little creature that I was taking care of, and as soon as I could, I would release it. Some people do keep them as pets, but my understanding of the life of a hare is that it would inflict quite a lot of suffering on them. They're born to run. They don't like to be enclosed. So my decision not to cage the leveret proved to be the most important decision I took in the context of our relationship, because from that point onwards, it was free. And therefore, it behaved towards me with a great degree of trust.
Rather than keeping the leveret in a cage, Chloe would leave the back door open so that the leveret was free to wander between the house and the backyard.
I would leave a door to the garden ajar. And then as a result of doing that, you hear so much more. I would hear the noise that all the birds make as they're going to sleep at night and they're roosting. And I would hear owls. I would feel the wind more. I started to realize all those sort of human barriers that we put up to sort of seal nature out of our nice, clean, tidy lives so that mice don't get in and the cold stays out. They kind of dampen our senses. And in so many ways, observing the leveret really reactivated my senses as I started to think and try to imagine the world through the eyes of this little creature.
As Chloe started to pay more attention to the outside world, so did the leveret. Chloe's backyard garden had a stone wall around it, but within 4 months, the leveret was big enough to jump onto the stone wall.
I saw it one day standing on top of this wall and looking over into the wilderness, the wild beyond, and I waited to see what was going to happen, and it dropped off the wall into the landscape and it was gone. And I thought, having adjusted every aspect of my life for 4 months to live alongside this creature, I suddenly thought, well, this is it, it's over, the experience is over. But actually, lo and behold, to my total astonishment, several hours later, the leveret returned. And this is the point at which I realized that this relationship was going to continue. So basically, from there on until the present, the hare leaps the garden wall at night and returns in the morning to sleep in the house. And that's her routine. And my house has become her form.
For most hares, a form is a shallow hole that they scrape out into the ground where they rest during the day. But for this particular hare, Chloe's house was her chosen form. Now that the hare had determined to live with Chloe for good, she realized that she needed a better way to allow the hare to go in and out, other than just leaving the door open.
going to have to find a permanent solution. So I persuaded the carpenter to cut the world's first hair's door into the pane of a large glass door in my living room. And that's kept propped open for the hair to come and go.
Soon, Chloe and her hair adjusted to a new life. A human and a hair, living together in the same space.
This was a wild animal, and I felt that it was the most incredible privilege for me that it would choose to come and lie in the house and rest just meters from the desk where I was working day after day. It would sleep there, and you know, it would arrive and sit quite upright and clean itself and think about life, and then it would gradually kind of go lower and lower and lower until it was stretched out on its side, its eyes completely shut, its white belly showing, allowing itself to sleep in the company of a human. I did not want to wake it up, so I went to ridiculous lengths. I would go through a different door, go around the outside of the house to sort of leave the hare to sleep because it would sleep all day.
In addition to watching the hare sleep, Chloe loved to watch the hare eat.
Even though the leveret was free to roam the garden, I took it upon myself to try to sort of find things that would appeal to its palate. And I created it almost like a little sushi bar of little bowls of different things that I'd found in the wild that I wanted to see if the leveret was interested in. And for the most part, it liked to forage for itself. But it took to porridge oats with great enthusiasm. The two parts of a hare's mouth can move simultaneously, so their chewing is really quite entertaining. A tongue kind of comes out and sort of cleans off any oats that get caught on its whiskers, because they have these incredible whiskers that fan out around the cone of their nose. But I used to particularly love watching the leveret when it was small eat a raspberry, and it would pick up like a little raspberry in the corner of its mouth, and because it can't eat with its paws, so this little raspberry would go round and round and round and round at the edge of its lips, making this very, very sort of sweet chewing noise until it had disappeared. It likes to eat dandelions, but it doesn't eat them from the flower down. It snips it off at the stalk, and then it sort of gradually swallows the stalk until it gets to the very end where the head of the flower is, and then it snips off this little golden flower that falls to its paws. But while it's eating the dandelion, the flower is kind of bobbing around in front of the leveret's nose, which is very, very enchanting, as you can imagine. So they're so very, very clean animals. They wash themselves after they've eaten, absolutely meticulously, always in the same way, starting with the front paws. They lick their paws and then they clean their ears and their head, and then they go progressively down their bodies, down to their hind paws. So I'd lose a lot of time in the working day watching the hare eat, groom itself, and sleep.
I wish I could sit next to a hare all day. Not only are they such interesting creatures, but they sound super cute. Chloe has continued to live with and observe her hare. In fact, over the years, Chloe has become outnumbered by hares.
For the first year of her life, I didn't know whether she was male or female. It's not possible to tell from looking at a hare, but I learned that she was a female in the most wonderful way when she gave birth to leverets in the garden. And so the way the story has developed is over time is that I'm not just living with one hare, I have a family of hares around me.
This family of hares has opened Chloe's eyes to the natural world and all the animals who live in her backyard, hare or not.
I was pulled outdoors by a sense of joy, a sense of curiosity, a sort of childlike desire to revel in the landscape around me and just to understand basic things. I can now tell you confidently about stoats and the difference between stoats and weasels. And I did this sort of species by species with the animals around me. So the birds of prey, the buzzards, the kestrels. It ranged from standing at the edge of the pond and gathering grasses and going back and identifying them and trying to find out what they were used for in the past and trying to see how many of the traditional meadow flowers that I could identify and what they were used for and what knowledge we had about them. I not only got the benefit of observing this incredibly beautiful, mysterious creature that normally humans don't get to see up close, but my gaze followed it outside, my gaze followed it into the fields. I credit the hare, which is kind of extraordinary for an animal that couldn't communicate with me, that had this real transformative effect unfurling my senses as I tried to understand what its life represented.
Chloe's experience with the hare changed her life and led to her having a greater understanding and appreciation for the outdoors. The cool thing is, you don't need to have a hare live with you to learn what Chloe has learned. when we take the time to look outside and learn about creatures, big and small, in our world, then we can experience the same feeling of wonder.
Hello, parents! I'm Marcus Smith, and I host Constant Wonder, the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. Everything you've just heard actually comes originally from Constant Wonder, the Source podcast. It just so happens to have some great material for kids, too. As a grown-up, you'll likely enjoy the original extended episode on Constant Wonder about Chloe Dalton and her hare housemate. If you want to hear the full presentation, find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. The episode is titled Hare in the House, an Enchanting and Wild Companion. We actually think you'll grow hungry for more than just one episode. As a series, Constant Wonder is an ongoing quest for awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small, the kind of encounters that move us beyond words. Whoever said adults don't have time for wonder? A great way to stay connected to our world full of awe and wonder is to subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington, with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.